Hello and welcome back to the Elite Takeover podcast, where today we are going to be going through Elimination Chamber 2021, and we are very, very much on that road to WrestleMania. As always, I am your host, Aiden, joined by
Raph.
And make sure if you are watching this on YouTube to give us a subscribe, a like, leave a comment what your favorite match on Elimination Chamber was. And if you are listening to us on any of the major podcast apps where you can find us, make sure to leave us a 5-star review, give us a subscribe, download the podcast, all of the good things to help build this podcast. It really helps us a lot. Thank you very much for doing so. But let's get on to it. Let's get on to the 2021 Elimination Chamber. So what did you think generally about the show? Did you enjoy the show? Did you have a fun time with the show?
I enjoyed it. There wasn't much going on.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing I got from the show, was that like quite a few of them were quite predictable. As in, like, the regular matches, not the Elimination Chamber themselves.
Yeah.
But, like, quite a few matches were quite predictable. Some of them were a bit...
Actually, I kind of completely disagree with you on that. Because Rizzo wasn't predictable. Brian wasn't predictable.
Yeah, true. Okay, fair.
Realistically, it was just Drew and Shayna and Nia that were predictable.
Okay.
I would say.
Yeah, fair enough.
I kind of disagree with that, but I think
It was a fun night. There wasn't much going on, but it didn't really impact badly on it.
We had some good matches. It wasn't anything special, but it was good. Good enough. I definitely didn't leave it feeling negative particularly. Well, at the time, maybe. Not so much now.
Yes.
I've kind of calmed down on it now. I kind of feel better about it. But we started off with a pre-show match. Actually, we should also mention while we're talking about the pre-show, the Lacey Evans versus Asuka match was called off the show due to Lacey's pregnancy. But it was weird because they did kind of tease something on the pre-show of Asuka having an open challenge.
Yeah, they were like, oh, Lacey Evans is not able to compete because obviously who's the dad?
Yeah.
Who's the dad? She's pregnant. Who's going to be the dad?
They literally did a, who's the daddy? Is it Ric Flair? Is Ric Flair the daddy on the pre-show? It's like,
No. But so they did that, and then they said, oh, we'll have then Asuka versus a mystery challenger.
I don't know if they necessarily said it, but they did say it though. Yeah, I can't. Whether they said or not, they heavily teased it.
Yes.
And made it seem like something was going to happen. But nothing ended up happening, which was odd. Maybe we'll get something tonight on Raw.
Yeah.
But it was odd for them to kind of tease something for nothing to happen.
And keep announcing it throughout the whole week until...
It was odd for the match to be still promoted until literally right before the show, basically. That was kind of...
Till the end of the show, even, because we got to the last Elimination Chamber match. And
well, no, they weren't advertising it through the show.
No, they weren't advertising it, but we were expecting it to show up.
Yeah, because of the pre-show.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird the stuff that happened there, but we'll see. Maybe they'll go get some update on this on Raw tomorrow. Yeah. But it really sucks for Asuka once again.
Yeah.
No story for Asuka. Mm-hmm. Hey-ho. Hey-ho, hey-ho. But yeah, on the pre-show, because Keith Lee has been pulled from Elimination Chamber, he was pulled from his United States Championship match. We don't know what's wrong with him, but we wish him well. That's the most important thing. It doesn't really matter what's up with him. We just wish him well for the future. But we had a fatal four-way match on the pre-show. We had Mustafa Ali with Retribution surrounding the ring, John Morrison, Ricochet, and Elias in a fatal four-way match to determine who is going to be the replacement for Keith Lee. It was a pretty fun match. There were some silly spots in this. I thought there was such a silly spot with the friggin'... You quite liked it. I just thought it was dumb. Where they ended up each of them getting in position for a reverse DDT. Like each of them. And then Mustafa does his roll into a cutter. And then all of them drops their reverse DDTs when he dropped Elias with the cutter.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was silly. it's a cute spot, but I thought it was silly.
Yeah.
But kind of the story of the match was Mustafa and Ricochet, because of their rivalry from the beginning of the year with them wanting Ricochet to join Retribution. So it's kind of more of that stuff. It made absolutely no sense, though, because Retribution was outside the ring the entire time. And it's like, why doesn't Retribution just beat everyone up?
Yeah, because it was an unsanctioned
Well, not non-sanctioned. It's no DQ because it's fatal four. So, like, why didn't Retribution just all of them just come in, start beating up on everyone in the ring,
or the just only leave thing it down would do to? Is, like, sometimes they would just pull.
They prevent Ricky. They prevent
away from a pin or something.
Yeah, that's all they would do. They would just prevent a pin. That was all that would happen.
Yeah.
Until the end of the match. But it didn't make sense for them to be surrounding the ring and just not get involved.
Yeah.
Because, like, why didn't they just beat up Morrison and beat up Elias, keep them on the outside and let Mustafa have essentially a one-on-one with Ricochet?
Yeah.
That would have made more sense. But there was a lot of stuff that didn't necessarily make sense tonight. But hey-ho, hey-ho. But the match came to a finish where Ricochet went to do a dive onto Retribution on the outside. He got caught by Mason Tivar. He took him out. Mustafa Ali is kind of on the curtain laughing at what happened. And then he gets pulled back into the ring by John Morrison into a roll-up. 1-2-3. Morrison moves forward to the United States Championship match later tonight. The match was fine. It was. Yeah. It's probably better than most pre-show matches you get. But
yeah, still. It was fun with the flips and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about seeing those guys in a match.
Yeah, exactly.
I just could have been booked with a bit more sense to it.
Yes.
Especially for Retribution, but I know Retribution doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As much as we may want them to matter, they don't matter.
Yeah.
But we started the show off with the number one contendership match for the Universal, not United States, the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus King Corbin versus Jey Uso versus Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro. So my first thing, it took 15 minutes to do all the entrances and play all the video packages.
I thought that. I thought it was
I
so
literally
long
looked,
until
I looked
the match
at my
actually,
phone and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Until the match actually started, yeah.
Because we had the video package to start the show and then we had all of the guys in the pod. So we have Kevin, Sammy, Corbin and Jey Uso will come out to go in their pod. And then we have another promo package for this match itself. And then you have Brian and Cesaro have to make their entrance. It took forever until this got started. It was ridiculous. But we started off with Brian and Cesaro in the ring. They're great. Simple as they did some really good stuff. The story of Brian during this match was kind of his knee.
Yeah.
Kept working over the knee. Corbin came in after a while. He was the first one into the match. He started wrecking shop. He was kind of dominating.
He was basically,
Cesaro
was the boss,
and, he was just wrecking people for a while. It was nice for Corbin to get something like that.
Yeah.
Out came Zayn. Zayn was kind of trying to be like Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's great.
Oh, he was staying inside the pod.
Yeah.
So when they tried, the referees on the outside opening his pod, he held on to it for dear life.
Yeah.
So the referee outside, she couldn't open the pod. But the thing was, the pod has two doors. I always thought it was just the one, but it's actually just like two sliding doors in each side. And here comes Corbin, I think.
Cesaro.
Was it Cesaro?
Cesaro standing by the other door.
He's by the other door, which the referee by that time, she had opened it already whilst Sammy's still holding onto the other door, and then comes Cesaro and just pulls Sami Zayn out of the.
No, he starts slamming his head against both sides of the glass.
Yes, he grabs Sammy. It was really brutal, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
It was really funny, him like making so much effort to hold the door closed and then.
And then realizing the other door's open, Cesaro's in there beating him up. Sammy and Cesaro end up climbing on top of another pod with Sammy trying to escape from Cesaro.
Yeah.
Sammy, they're going back and forward. Sammy ends up trying to climb away. They both are now in the center, like up in the steel ropes.
The second bit of the steel, yeah.
Yeah. Cesaro is trying to knock him down. Cesaro almost gets there, then he grabs onto the very top of the chamber and kicks down onto Sammy, knocking him down onto the mat. Then Cesaro does a few cheeky pull-ups just to show how strong he is because he's a strong boy. Fun there, and then once that's done, eventually Cesaro manages to get the swing onto Baron Corbin and ends up getting in the sharpshooter for a nice early elimination for Cesaro eliminating Corbin. Good stuff. It's good for Cesaro to be getting these eliminations.
Yeah.
Out comes Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn immediately like, come on, Kevin, we're friends, we're best buds, come on.
Yeah, let's team up.
Me and you together again, and of
we
course
can do it.
Kevin immediately beats him up, which made me very sad.
Yes.
I always love Sammy. They end up doing lots of moves and doing lots of stuff in front of like Jey Uso's pod, where Jey's just sitting on the floor
Yeah.
Just staring up, being like, I'm getting in the zone right now, buddy.
Yeah.
Yep. And then eventually Jay's allowed out of the pod. Him and Owens immediately go at it. Because obviously that's kind of the rivalry going on, because mm-hmm. Jay's Roman's boy and Kevin wants to get Roman.
Yeah.
Owens ends up on top of the pod, hits a huge moonsault onto the other men in the ring. We end up with a bit of a stunner party on Cesaro, Bryan, and then Zayn, and he manages to eliminate Zayn.
Yeah.
Nice for Kevin Owens to get an elimination as well, especially since he ends up very quickly after this getting eliminated. So this was a really nice spot.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was very nasty.
Yeah.
This was really
clever, not something I would have expected.
Yeah.
So because the actual main door for the chamber, instead of it being a door, it's actually like a big sliding door, like a patio door, essentially.
Yeah.
So as Sammy's leaving, Jey Uso traps Kevin's arm in between the sliding door and the cell itself.
Yay.
And keeping pushing the door into his arm, doing so much damage.
Just keeping his arm just trapped, and the refs outside were just like, please let us move the door.
And trying to pull it away, and he wouldn't do it.
It was crazy scary.
And then while he's also got his arm trapped, Jay's hitting multiple super kicks to the head mm-hmm. of Kevin Owens. Eventually lets go, keeps hitting super kick, gets him back in the ring. Another super kick, climbs up to the top rope, hits a splash, and Jey Uso managed to eliminate Kevin Owens. That was a bit of a shocker to be so early in the match.
Yes.
It's great. Great for Jey to be able to get that elimination. It was really good. Really good stuff. Jey was great in this match.
Yeah, it was.
Jey was really good.
He's so good. He's a main event.
Main event Jey Uso.
Yes.
but now we have, we kind of go back to just Bryan and Cesaro kind of going at it for a while. Jey kind of takes a break for a second. He gets hit by something and knocks him out for a second. And a really cool spot where Cesaro shows off his strength as per usual, where he does a swing just holding onto the bad leg of Daniel Bryan. Just not
my knees
not
would
nice.
Not be happy with that at all.
and then but while he's doing this, in comes Jey Uso, super kick to the face of Cesaro, and then another splash to eliminate Cesaro, leaving it just to Bryan and Jey Uso being your final two in the chamber. Jey really going wild in this one. He goes all the way up to the very, very top of the chamber,
mm-hmm.
looking for a huge splash onto Bryan.
That was a very nasty spot as well.
Yeah, it's brutal. Jey like proper ran into it as well. It was really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice dive. But Daniel Bryan manages to get his knees up and manages to get the knee plus for the big victory, pinning Jey Uso. Daniel Bryan is your winner in this one.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this match. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
The best match of the night, definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
By quite a lot, to be honest.
Yes, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was really fun, really fast-paced and, like, brutal. And,
It was really fun. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff which we'll talk about in the main event, but the main event kind of repeated a lot of spots from this match and didn't do them as well. But, hey-ho. But, of course, outcomes. Roman Reigns, the cell comes up. Reigns is out here for his championship match right now. We get a brilliant hope spot right at the beginning, but with Bryan managing to get in the yes lock as soon as the match started.
I really thought he was going to get it.
Yeah, they really worked it in terms of making it feel like Bryan could win it. Just for that second, that hope.
He caught Roman Reigns out of guard because Roman was like, oh, I'm very good. And Daniel Bryan's completely bruised.
Dead, with a broken leg, basically. Yeah. But then after that, Reigns just dominated him, just smacking him in the face with these punches and doing his ground and pound, which Roman's very good at the moment.
Yeah.
Locked him into the guillotine and Bryan's done. Bryan is done. Match lasted about 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was so
as
quick.
You'd expect.
Yeah.
But that hope spot with Bryan in the beginning was really, really good.
Yes.
As Reigns celebrated, out comes Edge, spear to Roman Reigns, and he points to the WrestleMania sign, and then we get the fireworks. And it's confirmed that we are having Roman Reigns versus Edge at WrestleMania. No surprise there in the slightest. No. But it was a nice way to do it. It doesn't necessarily make sense storyline.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
I was surprised to see it happen just because I don't think it made that much sense storyline wise. Because Edge had kind of been like you need the Roman and Edge are kind of fighting over. They need the Roman needed Edge to have the WrestleMania Roman main event.
Yeah.
Why did Edge? It didn't really make sense for Edge to be like,
because Edge was
to before, give it to him.
Yeah, because Edge before was like, oh, I'm not going to give it to you. Like,
yeah,
I may not give it to you. Like, he doesn't want.
He didn't want to give Roman the main event.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he just comes in and does it. He's fine. Whatever Roman whispered on his ear in SmackDown, that was enough.
Yeah.
We moved on to the United States Championship match. Bobby Lashley, Riddle, and John Morrison. Oh, we did have a quick backstage thing with The Miz and Bad Bunny just before this. Bad Bunny getting in The Miz's face with the fact that The Miz doesn't have a championship belt, but Bad Bunny does. Got to keep that feud going. The Miz versus Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. Bad Bunny's going to win the WWE Championship.
Spoilers.
Potential spoilers. United States Championship match, Bobby Lashley versus Riddle versus John Morrison. Essentially, this match had a very simple story.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was just Riddle would go after Bobby Lashley. He would fail. John Morrison would go after Bobby Lashley. He would fail.
Yeah.
They would have to, they took a minute on the outside, teamed up together, managed to be able to take down Bobby Lashley briefly, take him out. They went between each other. Very close to getting it. There was a nice bit where... Yeah, they
kept being able to, like, drop him on his knees, but he would just get up.
Yeah, there was a nice bit where they ended up going... where they had to Lashley down in the corner, and Riddle went for the floating bro, only got a one count. John Morrison straight into Starship Pain, only a one count. We had MVP on the outside with his crutch due to his injury. We had the crutch stolen away from MVP. Lashley in the ring locks in the Hurt Lock onto Morrison. Riddle gets in the ring with the crutch, hits Bobby Lashley over the back. Bobby Lashley goes to the outside and is in pain, but still on his feet. He just is distracted by this pain, allowing Riddle to hit the Bro Derek onto John Morrison to pick up the victory before Lashley notices. It was a good way of keeping Lashley strong.
Yeah, exactly. I was surprised that Riddle won it, but I'm happy for him.
Yeah, no, I had an idea because there was a thing that Fightful said when Keith Lee was taking out the match. They on Fightful Select, it was said that John, the reason why they needed John Morrison, because they reported John Morrison was going to be the replacement earlier in the day, and John Morrison, the reason why they needed it is because the triple threat, it needed to be a triple threat for the storylines. So I kind of had an idea something was going to happen to maybe take that title of Lashley, but I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm still surprised.
Keeping him strong.
Because it could have just been a way to keep Riddle strong, really. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well done.
But Lashley managing to still be very strong, but Riddle winning his first ever United States Championship.
He just runs away like crazy. Yeah, sprints away straight away
because Lashley is still at full power.
He's very upset, so Riddle just runs away, falls on the ramp, and just stares at them, being like, "I have it."
Yep.
We forgot to mention on the pre-show when MVP is backstage with why do I always forget her name? Not Iconic.
Oh, Billie Kay.
Yeah, Billie Kay. She's like giving him.
Yeah.
Just basically just another silly Billie Kay.
Another silly CV, giving her CV over to be someone. In the Hurt
Business.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to keep it. I'll have a look. No. I'm going to keep it and I won't have a look. Okay. And he just leaves and she's like, okay. And then she's like, wait, did you just say not going to have a look?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
Next up, we had the Women's Tag Team Championship match. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Before this match gets started, we had a little promo backstage from Banks and Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of teasing that after they win this match tonight, Bianca's going to tell Sasha who her WrestleMania opponent is. Reginald comes in saying he's going to put a bottle of champagne on ice for them. Basically. This match didn't need to happen. This was completely pointless to have this match happen.
And just made this more
match,
harm.
Yeah, this
good.
Match was just a negative.
Yeah.
There's no harm. There was no point in this.
Did more harm than good. That's
yeah, completely. Yeah, completely. In the early, because at the beginning of the match, Bianca Belair was doing a good job getting on to Nia Jax, taking the mick out of her for the whole my hole and all this stuff. Completely doing that. Once Shayna Baszler gets in, she starts being able to work down Bianca. Bianca gets the tag to Banks. Actually, no, Banks tagged herself in, hitting a frog splash for a near fall. They ended up getting back into this after a little bit. In comes Belair back again, hits the KOD on Baszler, but Jax breaks up the pin. Jax gets the tag, makes her way into the ring. They did a spot where Bianca tried to lift Nia Jax but couldn't do it.
Why do it?
Why do that spot? It didn't make sense to do that spot because you're supposed to be building Belair up as the strongest, the greatest, the fastest. And like her picking up Otis like before was really impressive.
Maybe it was just, again, Nia Jax just not being very helpful with herself.
It seemed like it was intentional. It seemed like it was part of the match that she wasn't able to do it. But it was, it's just odds to do that spot.
Yeah.
If you're trying to build up Bianca and trying to build up Sasha for this WrestleMania match. The whole match was very odd.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks manages to get Nia Jax into the bank statement. Out comes Reginald with some champagne and two glasses to celebrate the victory. But Nia Jax manages to make her way over to the ropes. Weirdly, they had Sasha put her foot on the ropes as if she was going to do the thing where she flips through in the bank statement, but didn't do it, which was kind of odd.
Yeah.
But Nia Jax gets her hands on the rope, manages to break it up. Nia rolls over to the other side of the ring. Reginald is like, "Oh, Sasha, come on, here's the champagne bottle. Here's the champagne bottle. Hit her with it. Come on." And then Sasha's like, "I don't want to do that. I ain't going to do that." And then Nia Jax...
She still has the bottle on her hand.
Yeah, she had the bottle in her hand. The ref's not happy.
Yeah. The ref tells her off.
Yeah.
And then, she's like, okay, I'm going to give the bottle away.
And then Nia just gets her in a Samoan drop and pins her 1, 2, 3.
A very clumsy one, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
It was very, very, very clumsy one, very the end.
Oh, no, the end was, yeah, that was really messy, that ending.
Yeah.
Nia wasn't able to hit her with it straight away.
She kind of like drips or something like that. It was very odd.
But it doesn't make any sense. Why on earth are you pinning Sasha Banks on the way to WrestleMania?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you making...
like they were keeping the titles as they did, but something silly would have happened. Like, for example...
Reginald just hits Nia with the bottle.
With the bottle, and the ref sees it and just calls out the match.
Or we actually move this storyline forwards and have Carmella come out and be upset that her sommelier is out there with Sasha and Bianca.
Yeah, exactly.
Carmella comes in, super kick to Sasha Banks, and then we can do Sasha. They're not going to do anything else for us then. They're going to do Sasha and Carmella again, it seems like. And like you can just build that match from here. Or you could have just had. There's so many options. You could have had Lana and Naomi come out and accidentally cause the DQ win. You could have even had Kai and Raquel and be like, they're going to cause the DQ because they want to make sure that they face Shayna and Nia.
Exactly.
Because that's where the story is for them. They want to face Shayna and Nia. There were so many different options here that would have made Belair and Banks look a lot stronger than they did.
Yeah.
Because realistically, it probably should have been a DQ, and then it should have been the thing where they both hit their finishers. Sasha locks Nia in the bank statement, and Belair hits Baszler with the KOD, and then you have Belair and Banks stare down at each other. That should have been the end. It should have been to make them look good.
Yeah.
Whereas instead, we had Belair not being able to pick up Nia Jax.
And Jax having
defeating Sasha Banks,
who is the champion.
Yeah, like, when Nia Jax is on Raw.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of, like, SmackDown is such a better women's division than Raw anyway. You don't need to be using Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler to be holstering up the women's, the SmackDown women's division. Right. You have Bayley, you have Bianca, you have Banks, you have Carmella, you have the Riot Squad, you have people who can do this stuff. You don't need to be using... You don't need to be using Jax and Baszler to boost up the SmackDown women's division.
Like, if they wanted to do something with this match, they would have done Nia Jax and Shayna with the Riot Squad, for example, or with any other real tag team.
Or just do the actual, like, it's going to be a bad match when it happens, but Lana and Naomi are the number one contenders. Yeah. Just do the match.
Exactly.
And also this match, just because it was also so obvious that they weren't going to win, because you've already built up, this Lana and Naomi thing. You've already built up the Kai and Raquel thing on NXT. You ain't going to change any of this. It was pointless. Pointless anyway. Match, which just hurt people.
Yeah.
But hey-ho, hey-ho, hey-ho. That was definitely the weak point of the night.
Yeah.
We get a little backstage moment. We see MVP having a discussion with the Miz backstage.
We can't hear anything.
No, no sound, no nothing. You just see it and then back to what's going on.
Yeah.
And now in our main event, we have our WWE Championship Elimination Chamber. Drew McIntyre, the champion, taking on AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton. This match started off with Jeff and Orton in the middle of the ring, starting things off. It was really odd that no one... They really felt like there was going to be some kind of replacement in this match.
Yeah.
That something was going to happen that was going to be a little bit more interesting because, let's be realistic, Jeff Hardy and Kofi, both of them, they could have been something. They could have been taken out.
Someone else could have been taken out so easily.
Like, you have this whole... You have the Mustafa Ali, Kofi Kingston storyline. You could have done that.
Yeah.
You have this whole thing with Braun Strowman, where Braun Strowman was upset that he wasn't put in this match, and they're kind of teasing him versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You could have done something with that. You could have had Orton taken out by The Fiend. There's so many things that could have happened. That could have moved storylines forward, and maybe it would have made it overbooked, but I think the way they did this match was overbooked anyway. So I think they could have done some fun stuff with that. Whereas this is quite a, like, I think this lineup is just quite...
It's a very odd lineup, a very odd group of people. People that you've seen together so many times.
Drew McIntyre has beaten all these people, apart from Kofi. But that's because Kofi wasn't on Raw until recently. But like, it's a very...
Yeah.
It was a very meh lineup.
Yeah. It wasn't very exciting.
Nothing fresh.
To a point that we thought it was going to get exciting and then just wasn't.
Anyway, Hardy and Orton start things off.
And that's how we knew straight away that Orton wasn't going to be attacked by the Fiend in the cell, at least, because he wasn't inside a pod.
Because we assumed that something was going to happen inside the pod that was going to happen to Orton, but no. Hardy and Orton starting things off, just typical nonsense between these two. In comes McIntyre straight away, immediately taking it to Orton, reigniting their old rivalry.
Yeah.
All of this, nothing particularly interesting happened in this bit of the match. It was just very much typical fighting.
Yeah.
Out came Kingston, and Randy Orton just got caught by a roll-up out of nowhere by Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere. Fiend, no Alexa, no distraction of any variety for Randy Orton.
And the first to get eliminated out of all these men.
Yeah, like...
out of Jeff Hardy and AJ.
It's just silly. You're trying to build up Orton as, like... you're trying to build him up for Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, and you're kind of building him as this like maniac,
who set
a person on fire.
Exactly.
He set a dude on fire, and you're trying to build him as this maniac and this person who's like, if you were writing this properly, which they're not really, this person who is kind of suffering with PTSD from the idea that he set a man on fire and from setting fire to a house in the past.
And that Alexa is basically coming for him and she's resuscitating that man that he's set on fire.
Yeah, like he's getting freaked out by everything.
Yeah.
Every single thing he's getting freaked out by, essentially. And it would have been so easy to do something here, but instead you just have Kofi eliminate him with a roll-up.
Yeah.
Just so you can do the spot with Styles. Which is pointless. Like, what's the point of this? If you're going to do this to Randy Orton, why have him in the match?
Yeah.
And I don't have any issue with Orton being eliminated super quickly and by Kingston. I don't mind it. But there just has to be some reason, building to the storyline going forwards. Because, like, it's just like... Because really like this off. And the Rumble, like, both of those pay-per-views, they just went, nothing's going to be moving forward with Orton and The Fiend.
Yeah, exactly. But like, then they always tease it every single week on Raw.
Every week on Raw, Alexa does something to Orton, and it's always the main event of Raw, and they have a distraction finish to make it so that Orton just had, so that it's just a nonsense finish to end Raw. Alexa appears in the corner,
scary, spooky.
Blood falls out of her face.
Yeah.
She appears on the Trons. Every single Monday Night Raw with Randy Orton, it happens.
Yeah.
But at the pay-per-views, at Royal Rumble, it didn't happen. At Elimination Chamber, it didn't happen.
It's so silly.
Why are we
and
not
I know they
building?
Have more people on the ring. Like, it's not like it's just Orton, but on Elimination, I understand on the Rumble, but in the Elimination Chamber, you could do it so easily.
All you had to do is like
Use the screens.
Use the screens. Put some fire. You didn't have to have the fiend come back yet.
No.
You could have had a like
Alexa eyes or
Alexa
fire.
Eyes, fire. You could have just had like a. On you could have
screen.
Just had his mask.
Yeah.
On
or
the like
screen.
Someone picking up them. Someone picking up his mask, or have the lantern. Something that just freaks Randy Orton out for a second, allows Kofi to get that pinfall.
Yeah. That
That's
would make
fine.
Sense.
And just do something to build this up. And like, people probably, because people don't like this view. People don't like all this supernatural nonsense. But like,
I love it.
Generally, I think people would probably enjoy this supernatural nonsense if it wasn't just the same thing every week.
Yeah.
If it wasn't just Alexa does something spooky every single week to get rid of Randy Orton.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the same thing every week, I think people would enjoy it a lot more. And it's not.
And I know they will once the fiend comes back.
Yeah. But when they're going to do that, it's kind of, I'm fine with the fiend being away for now. It's not really an issue, but you need to start having some bits of the fiend start coming back. Mm-hmm. You need to. Well, they could have just been the puppets. It could have been anything. It wouldn't have been hard to do. I don't understand why, but they all did this so that Randy Orton gets rolled up. He's upset with being eliminated so quickly. Yeah. Hits an RKO on Jeff Hardy, hits an RKO on Kofi Kingston. This is all for AJ Styles to tell Omos, rip off my pod. He rips off the glass on the outside. AJ jumps down, walks around slowly to go and make his way to the door. Randy Orton's walking out, so he's like, "Hi, Randy, I'm just going to hang a second while you go away so you don't RKO me."
Yeah.
And then he runs in the ring, tries to go for the pinfall. 1-2, 1-2. Doesn't get anything, obviously, because he's taken about 20 years to get there.
And then the refs just kick Omos out.
Yeah, they get Adam Pearce comes out and he's like, "Almost get out of here, almost leave."
Yeah, that was it. And AJ's very upset.
AJ's not happy about it, but it's just like it's just.
We thought it was going to be really cool because now there was a way into the cage.
Yeah, because now there was a way for someone to sneak in, whether it be Mustafa Ali to get rid of Kofi, whether it be anything, because we knew something Bobby Lashley was going to happen.
Yeah,
if Bobby Lashley was going to come in that way, there was lots
so many
of
things could have happened.
There could have been a lot more creativity in this. Yeah. But instead, that did nothing. That was just because they wanted to show off Omos being strong.
Yeah.
So Randy Orton got eliminated so they could show Omos breaking off a piece of Playtex glass. but whatever. So he obviously gets no. He doesn't manage to get any pins here. In comes Sheamus. Because now AJ's already been in the is already in the match, so now we just have Sheamus coming in as the last one. McIntyre and Sheamus start to go at each other.
Another thing that upsets us a bit that they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't really do the McIntyre and Sheamus thing properly, but
they didn't really keep going with it throughout the match.
No, I don't think they didn't do a very good job of the story with these guys, and didn't do a very good job necessarily making Drew and Sheamus look really strong in this match. I'm not going to go through what my booking would have been because it doesn't matter. They've done what they've done.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that my booking would have been any better than their booking. They're professionals. I'm not a professional. they go at it for a while. Sheamus ends up catching Kofi Kingston with the bro kick and eliminates him 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy goes through a little phase of trying to hit big spots. Which is kind of the only reason why he was in the match. Oh, I forgot about... So before Kofi got eliminated, he did the trust fall from the top of the cell, which is fine. But it's like...
Not as impressive as
KO. It's like Kevin Owens did a moonsault off the top earlier. It's a lot more impressive to see Kevin Owens doing a moonsault off the top than it is to see Kofi doing a trust fall off the top.
Yeah.
It's much more impressive to see Jey Uso running in and giving it his all to jump across the entire ring to hit a splash than it is to see what we're going to see in a minute, which is Jeff Hardy doing a whisper in the wind off the top.
Yeah.
He doesn't even go for a swanton off the top. And I understand he's old. I don't want him to do a swanton off the top. That would be dangerous for him.
Yes, but
he shouldn't
still
be doing it. But it was just kind of...
Ming.
Meh. And it's like you did it better in the first match.
Yeah.
So why repeat the spots? But it's fine. It was the only reason why Kofi and Jeff Hardy were in there, really, it seemed like. So Jeff hits the whisper in the wind, gets back in the ring, hits Styles with a swanton before he can capitalize. McIntyre, claymore to Jeff Hardy. You've had your usefulness, you've done your dive. 1-2-3. Out goes Hardy. Now we just have Styles, Sheamus, and McIntyre left. McIntyre ate a white noise from Sheamus. Styles tried to go for the 450, the springboard 450, messed it up the first time, a little bit dodgy looking, went for it again, hit it the second time, doesn't manage to get the pinfall on McIntyre. Sheamus and Styles go at it for a while. Sheamus ends up hitting McIntyre with the bro kick, but before Sheamus can get the pinfall on McIntyre, out comes AJ Styles with a phenomenal forearm. 1, 2, 3, Sheamus has been eliminated. And then straight away, Styles tries to go for this phenomenal forearm again, but this time McIntyre hit a Claymore on mid-air AJ Styles. This was really cool.
A really cool Claymore.
Yeah, really cool Claymore to AJ Styles, knocking him out of mid-air to retain his title.
Woo!
Yeah, the match was fine. I've given it more shade than it necessarily needed, just because, like, the action in the ring was good. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but I think there was just so much more potential for building storylines here.
Yeah.
And building things forward. And the match was overbooked as it was anyway. You could have done other stuff to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, the first match, the first Elimination Chamber was your work rate Elimination Chamber. You should have had all the story in this one. You should have had a lot more story. Because, like, coming out of this match, yeah, we know what McIntyre's doing in Mania. We'll talk about that in a second. But we have no idea what Styles is doing.
Yeah.
We have no idea what Sheamus is doing.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what Jeff's doing. We have no idea what Kofi's doing. And if you're basing it just on this match alone, we have no idea what Orton's doing.
Yeah, true.
Like, we're so close to WrestleMania, and these are your main event guys on Monday Night Raw, and there's no hint at where they're going from this major match. There's nothing there to give you any kind of idea that we're moving forward with the storyline for these guys, and it's because they don't know what they're doing.
I hope.
They haven't booked it yet. But after the match, very, very excited for this. Out comes Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out, spear McIntyre, starts dominating Drew, taking it to him majorly. Really, really cool. I'm so excited for Lashley versus McIntyre.
Yeah.
He's going to be awesome. He hits in the Hurt Lock onto McIntyre. McIntyre is just about to break the Hurt Lock. He's almost out of the Hurt Lock, but instead Lashley hits him with a full Nelson slam. And then he looks out to the top of the ramp. Awesome. Lashley starts to walk away. The Miz comes to the ring, cashes in his Money in the Bank briefcase, hits the DDT, and then gets the skull crushing finale. 1, 2, 3. Miz is your new WWE champion. So I wasn't, when I saw it yesterday, I was kind of like, No. I don't mind it. Like, he's not going to have this title.
No.
He's probably going to lose it tonight.
Yeah.
Like, because probably the idea is the MVP and Miz agreed backstage that MVP and the Hurt Business would help the Miz to be able to cash in as long as Lashley gets the first shot at the title.
Yeah.
It's the thing that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Which probably means they won't do it. But it's the thing that makes perfect sense. And I really wouldn't be surprised to see Bobby Lashley walking out of Raw tonight with the WWE Championship.
Not upset.
And if
with
not,
that.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been nice if they thought of this idea earlier.
Yeah.
So that, like, so we weren't, like, just starting this storyline right, like, a pay-per-view away from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, if we'd done this at the Rumble or something, just a little bit earlier, just to give Lashley a bit more time with the WWE Championship. Because, like, he's very clearly going to get it from Miz.
Yeah.
Whether he gets it or not, he gets it at Fastlane, Lashley's going to have that championship. Miz ain't going to be able to beat Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited for Lashley versus McIntyre at Mania.
Yeah, that's something I want to see.
It's going to be great. Their match last year was superb. The only thing that ruined that match last year was Lana.
Yeah.
So there ain't no Lana now. So it's going to be great. unless they go back to it.
No,
WrestleMania, they're like, Lana's like,
No.
Oh, Lashley. You've got the championship, Lashley. Oh, let's get back together. I love you, Lashley. You got the championship, and Bobby Lashley gets suckered in.
No.
He gets suckered in to go back to Lana. They get they get remarried on the final Raw before WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre is inside the cake. He hits a Claymore from inside the cake.
No.
And then at WrestleMania, Bobby Lashley, he has Drew in the Hurt Lock, and out comes Lana, and she's like, Bobby, I'm I'm sorry.
Cool.
I've been sleeping with Drew.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
She slaps Bobby Lashley in the face while the Hurtlock's on.
No.
Bobby Lashley's upset. He looks to for the Hurtlock on Lana. And then Drew McIntyre, Claymore, 1-2-3 at WrestleMania.
God, stop.
And that's going to be what happens at WrestleMania.
Stop.
Either that or it's going to be the Miz versus Bad Bunny for the WWE Championship.
No. Enough. Right. Enough.
Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back with our weekly news and review, probably with Bobby Lashley as our champion later this week. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you next time.